My name is Terry LaFrance, and I'm going to be teaching what I can in 30 minutes on wisdom in forgiveness, the F word. I like what Chuck Swindoll says about forgiveness. He says forgiveness can be a really comfortable thing to talk about when we're talking about God's forgiveness toward us. Oh, we can talk about that for days, right? Forever, how we are forgiven. When we talk about us needing to seek forgiveness from someone or even needing to be forgiven, needing to forgive an offender who did something terrible and hurtful to us, often that's the type of forgiveness we really don't like to talk about, right? We're going to start, kind of bounce off of Proverbs 16:6. You know, God's word says a lot about forgiveness, and so we are going to look a lot at God's word, because I want you guys to understand that what you're hearing tonight about forgiveness is not coming from me. Please don't make the mistake of thinking that when we as teachers get up here and teach on topics that we are the experts on those topics. It is often quite the opposite, and God in his humor and love for us often gives us topics to teach on that we need most. So we are just going to look at God's word. What does God's word say about forgiveness? So Proverbs 16:6 says, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil." We know that mercy means what? Goodness, kindness, and faithfulness. We know that truth is the sureness and the stability of God's word. Atonement means to cover or to make reconciliation. And iniquity is sin or wickedness. So this verse tells us that we can be certain that our sins are washed away because of God's mercy and the truth that we find in his word. We have certainty of that. This verse in the NIV version says, "Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided." I think this verse speaks of forgiveness on both sides, God's forgiveness to us and our forgiveness to others, because we fear, love, and respect our God. And we're going to talk more about that in a minute. So I'm going to go over what I believe are three things we need to know before we can truly forgive. And the first point is understanding that we are forgiven. There was an exclamation point there. I don't know what it got left off. Understand that we are forgiven. Ladies, when we consider what sinners we are, it's probably not your favorite topic to dwell on, how terrible you are, right? But when we consider what sinners we are, how miserable, how selfish, how unkind, how me-centered we can be, the list goes on and on. It is truly amazing that God forgives us and cleanses us from our filth and our yuckiness, and not just that he does it, but how he does it, the fact that he does it so limitlessly. Psalm 32 is a psalm about the joy of forgiveness, and the first two verses of Psalm 32 are, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Praise God that he does not punish us as we deserve because we are sinners. Yes, there are consequences to our sinful actions. But our guide, God, died upon the cross to take the ultimate punishment of hell, which we totally deserve, away. He died to take that punishment away. I think of the seasons in my life where sin really abounded and God's grace abounded even more. And I am beyond grateful and in awe of his forgiveness. I think of the year before my husband and I got married and the physical sin we were involved in. A lot of you ladies know what I'm talking about. It's so hard. And I was living this life of sin, and I was going to church every week. And God, in his grace, I'm so glad I didn't get what I deserved during that time. God, in his grace, just poured his mercy out upon me. And it was a time of unrest and spiritual chaos in my life. I remember just feeling so uneasy because I knew I wasn't in God's will and I wanted his forgiveness, but I was, our flesh, darn it, right? It just gets in the way, yucky. And I think of the freedom and the peace that I felt when my husband and I got married, not just because we got married and we were able now to have physical relations the way God intended, but because I was finally able to enter into a deeper phase of my relationship with Jesus, one that I wasn't able to enter into before. Why? Because my sin had been forgiven and washed away, and I was pure despite of my filth and my sin because of his forgiveness. I remember the retreat that I went to right after I got married, and like Corey had her crying retreat, I had my crying retreat too. And it was, we were at the Embassy Suites by the airport, and we were all lined up in tables that went across in rows. Any of you guys remember that when we stood at the other hotel? And I had just like, I was so broken and I was so grateful and I felt so, when you know you're forgiven, but it's like, oh, you don't deserve it. And you feel like you just can't take God's grace. And I remember that retreat, Noreen was going around with the video camera the whole time. And she was videoed. And every single time she came by me, I was bawling. I mean, bawling. I was so broken. It's like, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve his forgiveness. And sometimes we can feel that way, right? We might sing, your grace is enough. But when you go through seasons like that, it's like, man, it's so hard for you sometimes to really understand that his grace is enough. And I pray that if there are any of you here that are dealing with that and you feel like you just can't accept it, I pray that tonight you totally and completely accept it and you allow it to just envelop you. I think about when I first became a mom and my strong-willed girl, my oldest, who's now 10, when she turned 2. Oh, the heavens opened up and the flood of grace just poured out onto me. Oh my gosh, I was so in need of God's grace. I don't think I've ever been more in need of his forgiveness than when I became the mother of a toddler. Are there any mothers of strong-willed toddlers out there? Oh my gosh, grace is for you especially, okay? I remember I would get so mad at my daughter and I would do something and I would lose it in my flesh and then she would go to sleep, she would fall asleep. And man, the enemy would come with this condemnation that I was just like, I wanted to go outside and beat my head against a rock. You know, I felt so bad. She's much better now, by the way. She's a great kid. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We were all in that domain of darkness. And if you have not asked Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, you are still living in that darkness. But tonight we're going to have a time of prayer where we're going to have you give you a chance to do that. I looked up the word conveyed from this verse. He has conveyed us. That word means to transfer, to remove from one place to another. He has taken us, filthy sinners, not worthy, and has removed us from hell and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son of his love. Isn't that awesome? He's picked us up and he has transferred us. I love that. I love that. I'm going to ask you guys to think about for a moment. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now. And I'm going to ask you for a moment to think of your worst day. The day that you are most grateful for God's forgiveness. They say Jesus died on the cross for you on your worst day. And with your eyes closed now, I want you to take a moment. I want you to meditate on this verse one more time, Colossians 1, 13 and 14. He has delivered you from the power of darkness and conveyed you into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom you have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Amen, that Jesus has taken that away from us and has washed us clean by the power of his blood. Okay, you can open your eyes back up now. And look at Ephesians 1, 6 through 8, which says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. God's forgiveness toward us is truly amazing. Not just the fact that God forgives, but how he forgives us. He doesn't just forgive us, but he does so instantly, immediately, no questions asked, when we come to him with the heart of repentance. I love the story of the prodigal son, and if you want to turn to Luke 15 in your Bibles, you can quickly, or you can just read it off the screen. We're going to read just a small section of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Luke 15:11-24 says, "Then he said, 'A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took off to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent everything, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine.'" Nice. "And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Now imagine how this story would go if it read just a little bit differently. And the father didn't run to him and instead kind of stood there looking at him as he walked down the way and took his chin in his hand, said, "So, you decided to come back, huh? Wasted all your money. Now I suppose you're coming back for some more." But that's not what he did, right? That's what we would have done, or worse, right? He ran to his son as he saw him coming down the way, and he had a party. If you want to put this in practical terms, right, the next time your toddler or your young kid does something really bad, like a whole bunch of bad things, like, "Okay, Carter, we just bought this new DVD player. You threw a tantrum and threw it against the wall." True story. "You took permanent ink and wrote all over the bed sheets, and you just took your Jell-O and you threw it all over the carpet. Are you sorry?" "Yeah, Mom, I'm sorry." "All right, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese." You know, if you want to freak your kid out, just try doing that, right? That's the kind of forgiveness we see here, right? That's not what we do to our kids. "You are so in time out for 2 hours. Go, just go," right? That is a picture. That is the picture of how Jesus is wanting and waiting to forgive you. It doesn't matter what you've done. His forgiveness and grace is unconditional and unlimited. And there is nothing else like that in this world. Nothing. It's amazing. And that's why he had to suffer such a brutal death, so that we could be forgiven like that. There's a song by Sidewalk Prophets called Prodigal. Many of you have probably heard it. The first two verses, the lyrics are these: "It's been a long time since you felt peace in the valley you've made where you weren't meant to be, where the shame throws shadows on you. But don't you forget that you're headed to more, but you've settled for less. Don't buy the lie, it's as good as it gets. The same feet that left you lost and alone are the very same feet that can bring you back home." Number one, understand just how we are forgiven. Point number one, being able to truly forgive. Point number two, and this is perhaps my favorite and I think the most important one, be warned, unforgiveness blocks love. When there is unforgiveness, love cannot flow through. It's like a dam, and the water just stops. Nothing comes through. It's dry on the other side. There's no way it can flow. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love." That's not the verse, but that's okay. That's probably my fault. He who covers a transgression seeks love. Forgiveness seeks love above all else. Forgiveness is an act of humility, and that means, this is hard, ladies, I know, that means being the bigger person and not caring about who's wrong and who's right, but caring more about seeing the love of Jesus prevail. That has to be our number one priority. I have a very wise friend who once said, "I don't care if it's my fault, I just say I'm sorry. I don't care if I'm not the one that did the wrong, I just say I'm sorry." Why? Because that brings peace. That brings peace. Now, I realize that when we're talking about forgiveness, we're talking about what I call big life forgiveness, like big situations in life, but also everyday forgiveness, those little things that get in the way, and we just need to let them go, right? Maybe in the big life forgiveness area, maybe you're struggling to forgive an unfaithful spouse or a parent who neglected you or abandoned you, or maybe it's a very deep hurt, a real or physical attack. More often for many of us, we encounter those everyday forgiveness issues in everyday relationships. We're deciding to love instead of getting angry and bitter can make all the difference in how your entire day goes and what kind of day your kids have, what kind of day your family members have. You've heard this verse from Corey, and I think it's important that it's coming up again. Proverbs 14:1 says, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands." The wise woman builds her house. One of the ways she builds her house is with love and ongoing forgiveness. Everyday forgiveness is returning a love action to someone who is grouchy to you, to someone who offends you, to someone who says something mean to you. It's saying you're sorry even when it wasn't your fault. It's taking into consideration what someone else is going through when they are mean and hurtful to you. There was a couple of weeks ago that I had run to Costco. It was on a Saturday, and it was one of those big monsoon storm days, and the clouds were dark and gloomy, and I was trying to get home from Costco before the storm hit. Because as you guys know, when you come home from Costco, you've got all this stuff to carry in, and everything from Costco is heavy. So I got home and I had the back of my car full of stuff, and my husband will usually come out to help me carry in the groceries, especially when I'm coming from Costco, because Costco is heavy. So the storm was coming, the wind was blowing, it was starting to sprinkle, and I grabbed what I could, you know, the toilet paper, I always grab the lightest thing first. I ran inside and I was putting stuff on the counter, and my husband, I could see him through the window, through our kitchen has a big window through the backyard, and he saw me. He clearly saw me putting groceries on the counter. And he did not come to help me. And I'm thinking, you see the storm, you see the clouds, you know I'm coming from Costco. You know I've got heavy things to carry. Your Vitarain water, which weighs like 25 pounds. He didn't come to help me, and I was so mad. I was really hurt. It made me angry. You know, it's blowing, the wrought iron door is shutting because the storm is, like, wind is shutting the door, and so I'm trying to keep the door open 1 foot. Where's Steve? Why isn't he helping me carrying the Costco groceries? I was so upset. Well, little did I know, he had been having his own struggle. He was trying to get the grass trimmed before the storm came, and the little whippy thing, you know, that cuts the grass on the edge had snapped off. And so he was trying to get it fixed right when I came home because it was starting to sprinkle, which I didn't know, and at the point I did not care about. But the point is, ladies, that Because then, you know, when you come from Costco and then you've got, you know, you got to divide the hamburger meat and freezer, freezer, fridge, and then the chicken, freezer, freezer, fridge, and then the three orange juices, two in the outside fridge, one in the inside. It's such a, like, burden. anyway, I'm getting off track. I could have chosen to be grouchy and held a grudge because he didn't come inside and help me. I had no idea what he had been dealing with. All I knew was I needed help and he was not there. When you choose to forgive and let love flow, I cannot tell you what happens, but it's this beautiful thing. It's this amazing thing. Like, the other person is shocked that you're not mad, and they're like really happy that you showed them love, and then they're loving back to you. But it only happens when you initiate and you take the first step and you let it go and you forget about it and you choose to love, right? That's not in us. That's not of us. But when we act that way and we choose the high road, we take the Jesus road, we take the road of love and forgiveness, it changes the entire course of the day. It changes our spouse's day. It can change the kind of day our children have. It can change your entire mood in your house, right? Ultimately, it can change lives when we choose to take that high road of forgiveness and not be so, you know, get so caught up in the little things. Elisa mentioned in her video, John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. When we hold on to that bitterness, we cannot enjoy that abundant life. The wise woman builds abundant life and joy in her home and her community by choosing to love and to forgive instead of being bitter and acting out in anger and revenge, which we so often do, right? Just let it go and choose to love, and you will be so grateful you did. This amazing thing happens. It's the spirit, and it just takes over, and I can't describe it. It's amazing. So point number one was understand that we are forgiven. Point number two, be warned, unforgiveness blocks love in small situations like my Costco thing, but in huge, big situations too, right? And my last point, point number three, recognize forgiveness is an act of obedience. Forgiveness is an act of obedience. God says in his word that we must forgive. I'm not saying it. It's not me, Terry LaFrance, so don't come up to me afterwards, but you don't understand what that. I'm not telling you have to forgive. God's telling you, you have to forgive. Jesus says it. So let's go right to his word, right? Back to our focus first that we had in point one, Proverbs 16:6. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, sin is washed away, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. You know, Jackie talked a little bit about the fear of the Lord. You know, I think we need to have a little bit of real fear of the Lord. Yes, it's a loving respect, but we do need to fear the Lord a little bit, ladies, because we need to do what he says, or there's going to be consequences. Just as a parent wants their child to have a good, healthy fear so that they will obey, I think God desires the same thing of us. He doesn't want us to run and be scared of him, right? But he does want us to have a fearful respect and reverence for what he says in his word. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And then this one, which we probably all think of when we think of forgiving, Matthew 18:21-23, in the parable of the unforgiving servant. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Jesus commands us to forgive. It's not an option. You say, I'm sorry, but I'm just not willing to forgive. I just can't do it. Unforgiveness sin hinders our relationship with the Father. It hinders our prayer life with our Father. And ladies, that is a dangerous place to be. We don't want to be there. We don't want to dwell there. Chuck Swindoll says this. He says, we cannot be right with God if we aren't right with others. Take the first step. It's your move. We cannot be right with God if we aren't right with others. Take the first step. It's your move. What does it take to move first? Humility. Humility and love. And those are things that are not of our flesh, not in us. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The mercy and forgiveness that you give is the mercy and forgiveness that you get. I don't think we can hear that enough. I know I can't. I need that reminder, and I need it often. I need it often. One of the greatest examples we have of forgiveness in God's word is Joseph. His brothers sold him into slavery. First, they plotted to kill him. Then they decided to sell him into slavery. He's falsely accused. He goes to prison. Through it all, he remains faithful to God because he was a man of integrity, and he ends up second in command of Egypt. Too much to go through now. The entire story of Joseph. But if you want to read about it in Genesis 37 and 39, we can learn a lot, not just from Joseph, but from his brothers about forgiveness and unforgiveness. What are the things that lead to an unforgiving heart? Jealousy, envy, pride. Have you ever aspired to kill someone's reputation or their good name? You may have not plotted to murder someone, but you might have plotted to make someone look bad or murder their reputation. Joseph's brothers did all this and more. Like I said, they really planned to kill him. But through everything, Joseph remains faithful. And when, I don't know how many years it is, like 20 years later, he's presented with an opportunity to use his position of power to get back at his brothers. They are hungry. There's a famine. They are in need. And now Joseph is this huge, big, powerful person. Man, it's the perfect opportunity to get back at his brothers. But what does he do? What does he do? In Genesis 50, 15 through 21, it says, this is when Joseph has already revealed his identity to his brothers, and his father Jacob, Israel, has died. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Yay, Joseph, right? He's our hero. What was it about Joseph that made him able to forgive? We read that and we say, Lord, I want to do that. I want to forgive like that. But it's like we can't. It's too hard, right? What was it about Joseph that made him able to forgive his brothers after they conspired to kill him and sold him off to slave traders? Was he simply born a really nice, forgiving guy? That's just his character. That's just the way he was. Well, no. Genesis 39:2 tells us the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Genesis 39:21 tells us, But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. See, it wasn't Joseph. It was the Lord in Joseph. It was the Lord with Joseph that made him able to forgive. The same God who was with Joseph is with you today, tonight, if you call him Lord and Savior. Joseph had received mercy. And when he had every opportunity to seek revenge and get back at his brothers, he chose to show that mercy in return. The Bible says, the mercy we give is the mercy we get. James 2:13, it's not on the screens, but if you want to jot it down, James 2:13 says, judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. That's a scary verse. Judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Ladies, understand that forgiveness is an act of the Spirit, and forgiveness is a process. I know there are some of you in here who are dealing with some really, really hard and deep issues of forgiveness. And I know I spoke to some of you earlier today, and I don't know how to forgive some of the offenses that are heavy in my heart that I heard about today that I've shed tears over. I don't know. I really don't. But I know that there is power in the name of Jesus. And I know that the same power that rose him from the grave is alive in us, and that power is more than enough to forgive if we keep our eyes on him and if we depend on him. Forgiveness is an act of the Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And that love, that forgiveness, doesn't come by anything inside of us. It comes only by the Spirit. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit by simply asking God with a true and fervent and repentant heart. We need to focus on Jesus and not on the offense that was committed to us. As women, we can get so stuck in our feelings and allow feelings to control our actions, just like Eleanor Roosevelt II, right? We can get all stuck in our feelings. She had great hair, didn't she? And we can say, I'm not going to forgive because I'm still hurting. There's just too much pain and I can't forgive. I'm hurting. Well, one commentator put it this way. Forgiveness means giving up the right to punish the person who sins against you. Forgiveness means giving up the right to punish the person who sins against you. And we need not look any further than the cross, than Jesus forgiving and praying for the very men who were driving the nails through his hands. We need not look any further than that for what is expected of us when it comes to forgiving, through pain, through rejection, through betrayal. If you are struggling, this is going to sound weird, so listen. If you are struggling with forgiveness, stop trying to forgive. Stop focusing on the forgiveness. Just focus on getting closer to Jesus. Focus on his forgiveness. Because I think what happens too often is when we get stuck trying to forgive somebody, we get stuck on the pain. We focus on the hurt and what they did to us, and that's all we can think about. If you're struggling with forgiveness, stop trying to forgive. And just focus on Jesus and getting closer to him, keeping your eyes on him. If you really want to have a heart of forgiveness, tell him that. Take that desire to him. He knows you can't do it on your own. That's why he's here. Jeremiah 29, 12, and 13 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. If you're having trouble forgiving, stop focusing on the forgiving and focus on Jesus. Meditate on his amazing forgiveness towards you. Focus on that, on how amazingly and unconditionally and quickly he forgives you. And then allow him to transform your heart into a heart of forgiveness and understand that sometimes it takes time. It's not an immediate or overnight process. It takes time. I want to close with this. You know, I looked for a great story. I had some books, and I thought, I want to close with a really great story about forgiveness, and I couldn't find one, so I don't have one. But I want, you know, one of those stories, you know, it makes everybody cry. But I have my own little story that I just went through, and it's short, but I hope you take it to heart. My sweet mama just passed away on August 14th. I was her baby. I'm the youngest of four girls, and I was her baby, and she spoiled me. She spoiled me rotten, and I loved it. My sisters hate it, but I loved it. And she had been bedridden for several years, and we knew her kidneys had stopped working, and she went home to be in hospice care. So my sister, who lives there in El Paso, had called us and said, Mom's coming home. She's in hospice. So my sister, who lives up here in Phoenix, and I, we got our families and we packed up and went to El Paso, and God was so gracious. We had 5 days with my mom. We got there on a Monday, and Jesus took her on a Friday night. And so we had a whole week to kiss her and love her and sing to her and caress her and kiss her oil of Olay scented face. You know, she wore that. She was kind of out of it in the last days, and so she had caregivers. And every single morning, that's how her routine started, was they massaged her oil of Olay into her face. You know, my mom had great skin. And, you know, there's four of us girls. She had four daughters. And when she went to be with the Lord, there were three of us there by her side. But because of a life of pain and hurt, and way too much to go into now, there was a fourth daughter who wasn't there when she went. Don't let Satan win. Don't let him have the last word. Be the first to move. Be like Jesus, because that's what he desires of us. Make that move now. Allow the Holy Spirit to soften your heart, and don't miss a moment. If there's something you need to take care of it now. Time is precious. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you have not called us to do anything, Father, that you have not promised that you will provide us the power of your Spirit to do those things that you've called us to do. And Lord, forgiveness is, it's not in us. It's just not in us. It's not possible for us to do it alone. And so, Father, I pray now for your Holy Spirit to come upon each and every one of us. And I pray that you would soften and speak to hearts. And I pray, Lord, that if there's any offenses that have been committed or any offenders who have done wrong against others, Lord, I pray that your love would win. I pray that your love would overpower any offense, Lord, that's been done. We thank you that we are forgiven, Lord. We so do not deserve the forgiveness and grace that you give us, but we are so grateful. We are so grateful that you offer it to us unconditionally, immediately, and with arms wide open. You're waiting for us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.